The peace of the Lord be with you always, and also with you. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So, why do we use the word peace so much in our worship service? Well, for lots of good reasons. Most importantly, because it was a word that Jesus used many times, and that's whose pattern we're following. That's especially true in our gospel lesson today from John 20. Let me just share with you three verses from John chapter 20. Peace be with you, John 20, 19. Peace be with you, John 20, 21. Peace be with you, John 20, 26. So that's not a misprint. That's not a mistake. That's not a copy and paste error. Jesus says the exact same sentence three different times. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. So why is he saying that? Well, everything Jesus says is important. But if Jesus repeats himself three times in that short of amount of time, we really better pay attention to it. I think it's safe to say that one of the blessings that Jesus really wants you and I to experience is the blessing of peace. Peace, the Greek word is eirene. It means the absence of conflict. No conflict out here with other people. No conflict inside our hearts. No worry, no stress, no fear. No conflict with God, ultimately. Our sins are completely forgiven. Our relationship with God is restored. We're not enemies, but friends with God, children of God. That's what Jesus wants for us, the peace that passes all understanding. So where do we get that kind of peace? Well, you can't buy it at Hy-Vee. You can't buy it at Target or Walmart. You can't even get it at Costco. Costco doesn't have it. I checked. Peace comes from Jesus Christ. He is, after all, the Prince of Peace. And as such, peace comes through the Word of Christ, the presence of Christ, and the Spirit of Christ. Let's talk about number one, the Word of Christ. John 20, 19. On the evening of that first day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were. For fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." John describes Easter evening with the disciples gathered together in the upper room with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. And then the risen Lord comes and stands among them. In his glorified body, there's no need to use doors anymore. He enters into the room the same way he left the tomb on Easter morning. Walls, even walls of stone, are no obstacle to his glorified body. The disciples are scared. They're scared of the Jews. They're scared that they may be put to death next. They're frightened and scared, and all of a sudden the Lord appears among them unexpectedly. Imagine how they might feel. Besides shocked and startled, they are probably wondering, hey, what is the Lord going to say to us? What might he say to us after we fell asleep in the garden, after we deserted him in his time of need? What might be his first words to his disciples? Think about what Jesus could have said. You call yourself disciples? What kind of disciples abandon their Lord and then runs away? Or, you cowards, how dare you all forsake me when I needed you the most? But Jesus didn't say any of those things. What does Jesus say? You know what he says. Eirene hemin, peace be with you. These words are a common greeting, but to the disciples, they were also an absolution. They were Jesus announcing his forgiveness to them. Jesus is not angry. He's not coming in judgment. No, he comes to bring peace to his disciples. He is answering the guilt inside of their hearts and answering it with mercy and compassion and forgiveness. Peace be with you. And of course, we've adopted that in our own service in the same way. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Jesus said in the night he was betrayed, John 16:33, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Jesus gives peace to his disciples the same way he gives peace to us through his word. The world brings all sorts of trouble into our lives. The world brings with it pain, suffering, loss, difficulties, challenges, temptations, and trials. After watching the news on TV, on the radio, or maybe on your phone, do you say to yourself, "Wow, I feel so at peace right now. I feel so tranquil and serene." No, how do you feel after you hear the news? Most of us feel stressed out, more worried, more anxious, and usually a little more angry. peace is never the word we use to describe the news of this world. But if only there was a book we could go to that would be a source of inspiration, a source of comfort, a positive source of peace in our lives. Well, we have that book. It's called the Bible. Peace comes through the word of Christ. The world brings trouble. The word of Christ brings peace. The more time we spend listening to the world, the more trouble we're going to have, the more stress and anger we're going to have. The more time we spend in God's word, the more peace we are going to experience. You see, the word of Christ gives us hope. Jesus says, in this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. You see, Jesus Christ, through his resurrection from the dead, has won the victory. And the Bible gives us guidance when we have difficult decisions to make, right? Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The Bible has a way of teaching us the truth and showing us what we need to do. The more time we spend listening to the world, the more stress and anxiety we're going to have. The more time we spend in God's word, the more peace we can experience in our own lives. Peace with God, peace in our own hearts, and peace with other people. Number two, peace comes through the presence of Christ. John 20:20-21. When Jesus had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. John 20:20-21. Despite the fact that Jesus no longer has to use doors, this is no ghost or spirit walking among them. Jesus has bodily been raised from the dead, and so he shows them his wounds, his hands, and his side. Of course, he shows them first to the 10, and then next the following week to Thomas, who wanted to see those to see for himself. When the disciples see the wounds made by the nails and the wound made by the spear that was thrust into his side, then their eyes are opened. They are not dreaming. This is not a mass hallucination. No, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. The reaction to the presence of the Lord is immediate. They rejoice. Our translation, the ESV, English Standard Version, has the underwhelming translation, they were glad. I just don't think that does justice either to the Greek or to the situation that it's describing here. Glad, I mean, glad is kind of a weak English word to describe what the disciples are feeling. Glad is when you find a 50% off coupon for your favorite breakfast cereal, right? Hey, Cheerios are on sale for 50%. Woo! I'm so glad. But that's not what the disciples hear. The Greek word that is used here doesn't mean mildly happy. The Greek word is kairo, joy. They rejoiced exceedingly when they recognized the Lord. They were full of joy, or as the NIV puts it, which I like so much, they were overjoyed. They could not stop themselves. Their joy just flowed out of them. And that's exactly what Jesus said would happen after his resurrection. In John 16:22, Jesus said, I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. Christ's resurrection is the greatest event in history. It's the ultimate source of our joy, and it's the ultimate source of our peace as well. Again, Jesus says, peace be with you. The peace that Christ brings is much greater than just good feelings. It's much greater than just a sense of tranquility. The ultimate peace we have is peace with God. Romans 5:1 tells us that because of Christ's death and resurrection, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the forgiveness of sins. Christ's death and his bodily resurrection means our sins are completely and fully forgiven. Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We have the ultimate source for our peace, forgiveness of sins and eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But that presence of Christ wasn't just for the first century Christians. He promises to be with his disciples in the 21st century as well, right? Matthew 28:20. Surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Christ promises to always be with us. What a comfort that is in this crazy, stressed out world that's full of heartaches and full of suffering, where there's so much pain and death. Christ promises, in these dark days, in this dark world, I will always be with you. It's the same kind of presence, the same kind of peace that David had when he wrote about in the 23rd Psalm, right? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Psalm 23, verse 4. Or we take Luther's favorite psalm, Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in times of trouble. Notice what the Lord says. Yes, in this world we will have trouble, but we never face trouble alone. God is not far away. He is an ever-present help in times of trouble. Christ promises to be with us in the dark valleys, in the times of trouble. Whenever things get difficult, Jesus Christ is right there with you. Lo, I am with you always. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. We never face troubles alone. Christ is always with us. Peace comes through, number one, the word of Christ. Number two, the presence of Christ. And number three, the Spirit of Christ. When Jesus had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." John 20, 22 and 23. In that upper room, Jesus breathed on his disciples. He gave them his Holy Spirit. They could not possibly do the work that he was calling them to do by their own power. They would need power from on high, the power of the third person of the Trinity, the power of the Holy Spirit. Notice how God makes sure that we know we are never alone. Jesus says, "I will be with you always," and he will be. And then he goes above and beyond. He gives us the Spirit. We are the living temples of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you?" What does the Holy Spirit bring? Well, first of all, as it says here in this text, he brings forgiveness of sins to everyone who repents and believes in Christ. This is the verse, of course, where that's the institution of the office of the keys, right? The power that is given to God's church to forgive sins to those who repent, to withhold forgiveness from those who do not repent. The Holy Spirit empowers us, his church, to go out into all the world and share the good news of the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ to all people. We are to share this message of God's forgiveness with the world. That's the church's mission. And to those who believe, we can assure them that their sins are forgiven. Or as we said earlier in our service today, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Holy Spirit, sent by Jesus, gives to us his church his forgiveness, but he also works in us his fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. These three blessings go together. They are like best friends. Whenever you see God's love and God's peace, God's joy is certainly going to be close by. How does the Holy Spirit do that? Well, he works through the means of grace, the Bible, baptism, and Holy Communion, to strengthen our faith and produce his fruit in our lives. As we participate in the means of grace, as we come to church, as we come to Bible study, as we come to Sunday school, as you have been doing today, the Holy Spirit has the opportunity to do his work in our lives. And when the Holy Spirit is working through the Word, well, he's going to bring forth his fruit. He fills us with the fruit of the Spirit. He fills us with his love, that we might love one another in the same way that Jesus loves us, with a sacrificial and serving love. He fills us with his joy, the joy of knowing Christ and the power of his resurrection, the joy of the hope of everlasting life through Christ Jesus. And he fills us with his peace, no more conflict, but instead replaced with tranquility, harmony, and the rest that comes from Jesus Christ. Now, may this peace, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Peace be with you. Amen.